Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 50.
Yay.
And I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hello, I am Josh from LA.
I'm Marcia from Los Angeles.
And I'm Allison, also from Los Angeles.
Yes, we have a full LA contingent this week.
Woo-hoo.
Next week we will be in taking a trip to Vegas. Road trip.
You will anyway.
All right. In the news, the only thing I have is that Tim Kring, who was the executive producer of Heroes, is trying to woo or wow Kiefer Sutherland to be in his pilot called Touched. I know nothing about the pilot itself, but assuming he wants Kiefer Sutherland, I'm going to go with an action story.
And given that it's Tim Kring, we'll get a good first season and the rest will be crap.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, I don't know about that. So, I'd like to see Kiefer back on television.
Yeah.
I'd watch a show that he's in, and that's pretty much all I got about that. Anybody else have any news?
Well, I understand that David Walliams of Little Britain fame is going to be featured in an episode of Doctor Who.
Yay!
And that episode is going to be written by Toby Whitehouse, who wrote Vampires of Venice and School Reunion. And so that should be a lot of fun. That should be interesting.
Well, you named bad episodes.
Well, School Reunion wasn't all that bad.
School Reunion was kind of fun.
It was had its moments. Vampires of Venice, granted.
Not so much.
Not so much.
And School Reunion, I mean, other than staring at Tony Head, that was it.
Well, no, I did like...
Well, it had Sarah Jane.
It brought back Sarah Jane.
Yeah. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. All right. He's 50-50. Let's see how that goes.
I'm willing to err on the side of this could be good with David Walliams now being on it.
Yeah.
He is funny. All right. Let's move on to the shows. The first show that we're going to talk about is The Chicago Code. This is week 2. And everybody gave their opinion about what they thought of the pilot. So I'm interested in you guys. What do you think of the second episode?
Well, I think it's keeping a good pace. It's keeping me interested. That's about it, really.
I look at it because it's from the same person who did The Shield, which was the first of these intense, gritty, R-rated shows on FX. And it started out great. It became middling, got a little bad, got better. You know, it can go around. And I'm looking at this and I see signs of The Shield in it, though it's still not as intense.
No.
Sadly, it's also not as intense as Terriers, though bless their hearts, they did learn about titles to shows. but I don't know. I mean, I'm still watching it. I'm enjoying it, but it better pick up in the next few episodes because it's going to lose everybody it has. Because it's not quite NYPD Blue because we're past it, but it's not quite as good as The Shield either.
I would agree with that. Like right now, I thought the pilot was pretty good, but the second episode, I found myself wanting to fast forward, like, come on, let's go. Like, the pacing was a little too slow.
There were definitely moments where I was like, let's move on to the next thing.
Right.
Well, Calvin, she became a crying little girl in this last episode.
Calvin.
That's Jennifer Beale.
Jennifer Beale.
She's the police captain.
Oh, because the guy got killed and everything?
No, because it didn't go her way, because she feels bad about this, because she's mad at the and she cried. Now, that's something women can't do, and you would not have a real person in this position would not have done it.
She only cried at, which scene are you referring to that she cried in?
She cried,
because I remember her yelling and having a fit, but I don't remember her actually crying.
It was kind of, it was the fit and a little bit of a cry. There was, you know, that kind of
I know, she was like, she went off on, you undermine my authority. And that conversation was kind of interesting because I got why she did it. And then I liked his response, which was, look, I got your back. And then she was like, fine. Her fit that she had with the cop in the room was a little too, she kind of seemed kind of hysterical versus in authority.
I look at, like, Law and Order, the last few years, their lieutenant. That's the way that a woman in power, especially in a police department, handles herself. Not the way that they're writing this character right now. It's too emotional. And that, they're going to have to work on that.
Right, but that also goes to what they're saying, which is she's not leading very well. They say that on the... And most of the cops don't like her.
And I can understand why now.
But I thought, like, the way they were trying to depict that was because the cops themselves are so selfish and corrupt that the fact that she's trying to be fair makes them hate her.
That's true. But it's also...
It's also that she's a woman.
Yeah, and they don't like that she's a woman.
And she jumped up. She went up. She jumped above a whole bunch of other people to get the position.
That's true.
And I feel like part of it is she doesn't have as much experience as some of the other cops, so she doesn't quite have the authority. Like, there are certain people that carry themselves with authority, and they don't need to yell. They just say what they want, and people do it. And I feel like she hasn't quite gotten there yet.
I feel like she had it a little bit more in the first episode.
Yes, I agree. Yep. This one felt like a step back. Like, I thought the pilot was pretty good, and I felt like this one was mediocre. Like,
and Wasaki, he keeps explaining stuff. And, you know, it's like, you don't have to keep explaining. We'll figure it out, or we've already heard it.
I did like the prayer. I thought the prayer was amusing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still watching. I haven't deleted it from my TiVo. I'm still going to give it a couple more shots. And you're right, it's not as intense or as good as The Shield. There's nothing to grab onto. Like, on The Shield, Vic Mackey is just the man. You know, you watch because of him. And I see that they're kind of trying to make the Wozniak?
Wasaki?
They're trying to...
Something
like that.
Yeah.
They're trying to make him that guy that you grab onto, but he's not quite there yet.
No, I mean, and they are showing, you know, anybody can die, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's just the way they're handling the death isn't even right. Maybe we've just watched too much television and we're too good at critiquing them and thinking, you know, crap, I wouldn't buy that. Okay, this part's good.
Well, the whole manipulation by Gibbons of the mom just seemed simple.
Actually, in Los Angeles, because I was on a neighborhood council and I had to deal with some of the city people, that actually was on the money. That part I believed. And
he just
Chicago,
he seemed overly obviously evil. That's all, you know, like,
well, I mean,
he's evil because we are seeing him over his shoulder. The mother doesn't know she's evil. The other people around him don't realize he's evil. He does the evil in little manipulations. We'll just see if he's good at manipulating.
I thought it was a very convincing manipulation just from her perspective.
It was, but I guess from my perspective I was irritated. And that's So that's all. Allison, your thoughts? Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Okay. All right, so
those were my thoughts.
All right. Next up, we're going to talk about Castle. And this week's episode was called The Nail or something?
The Last Nail. Yeah.
And it's basically the whole Castle's old high school.
It's like
friend from high school or whatever that gave him his first words of encouragement to write.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If I'm boarding school.
It's like, I would not be who I am today if not for this man.
I have to say, though, his little speech was pretty good.
It was,
when he's telling that story, I was like, aw.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I thought that was pretty good. But he was getting way too... I thought by this time, he should know how to deal with Beckett.
Yeah.
And what he was doing was just totally not it.
Let's go back to the emotion again. He was so emotional that he wasn't playing the game. He wasn't trying to figure out the who and the why to protect his friend.
Yeah.
He was just getting in the way.
But, right? Like, the fact that he's experienced this from other people so many times that he didn't believe other people recognizing that in him just felt a little not right.
Yeah. Well, his entire motivation really was just exonerating his friend, not trying to find out what was actual truth, but just exonerating his friend. That was it. That was his entire motive throughout the show until the very end when it suddenly hit him in the face that, oh. Which actually, you know, from the very beginning, unfortunately, it was kind of obvious
that guy was evil.
I mean, it was terribly predictable from the start.
I actually thought he had done both murders. So the twist was that he'd only done one.
Well, I kind of figured if he didn't do both, he did at least one of them.
I actually didn't figure it that way. I figured that he was going to be the guilty guy at the end, which he was, just not for what I thought. So I thought that was a nice slight twist. But they were painting him in the corner as being the bad guy so thoroughly.
I mean, you knew that there was something wrong simply because his reaction at the beginning was so not like what you would expect from someone who just found their spouse with nails driven into their heads.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah, you're right. That first scene, he's just like, oh, my wife is Jay. Dead. Oh, Jay. Huh.
Well, gosh.
Oh, well, that just put a damper in my day. Hmm.
Well, yeah. I did like the conflict it created for Beckett and Castle. Like, that was interesting. But, yeah, he was a little too emotional.
It kind of felt a little forced this time just because the story was so much, like, you want to shake Castle and be like, don't you see what's going on? It's sort
right.
of, it made it harder for me to sort of latch on to the emotional disconnect that was happening between...
Right. Yeah, I mean, the whole story became, you know, wanting to slap him around and say, stop being stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just from a news perspective, next week, Adrian Pastar is going to be in a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
And what's ironic is he turned down the best friend. They offered him that role first.
Oh, yeah?
And he turned it down because he didn't think it was that interesting.
Well, now he's going to be in a two-parter, so I guess he...
Well, when he passed on it, he made the right call. Right. When he passed on it, he didn't know that they were going to immediately come with him with another script.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave... And he was like, yeah, I don't want to do that role. I think that's a good call.
That was a good call, yeah.
Anyway, next show up is NCIS. And this week's episode was a little... I think that it was slightly strange because it felt like we weren't getting the entire story. It felt like we were only getting like part of it because Vance was acting so out of character. I didn't understand what was going on.
They kept like doing these flashes and allusions to like somebody coming to Vance and saying, you need to get rid of these guys.
Like, or something.
Something like that. But we never really got like the full impact of what was going on there. All we know is that all of a sudden Vance now wants Gibbs and his team gone.
And which seems weird because they were all family and tight
like
a couple of weeks ago. So I'm like, what's happening? So I'm not sure what the heck is going on. And Gibbs looks like he's confused. He's like, he's confused too.
It's like, we were friends last week.
Yeah. He's looking at him like, what? And I did like the whole, McGee and Tony, because it starts off with it's like they're gonna be fired in 24 hours. This is not fixed, whatever. Yeah. And when they do the whole flashback, you find out how to get there.
I am so over that device.
Yes, I'm tired of it too. But I don't think it was necessary. I think in this episode they could have totally just played it straight.
Yeah, it was not necessary at all. It's like okay, they're under the gun. When is that different from any other episode?
Right. Well, this one, they're under the gun or they'll be fired, but there's no real tension because you know they're not going to be fired.
Right.
So,
I didn't feel like this was really worthy of, like, do this right or you're going to be fired.
Yeah. Especially because they really didn't screw up.
No, they didn't screw up.
Anyway, I liked the fact that the girl was into McGee and not into Tony. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was very cute.
Yeah, I like that. All right, next up is Glee.
Oh my god.
Bieber fever has hit Glee.
You know, it is bad enough to have to sit through one Bieber song.
But two?
This has turned into a Bieber festival.
Well, it's not just that. It was the hair, too.
Why do they all want to be a 12-year-old? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, why do they all of a sudden want to be Justin Bieber? And why were the girls going crazy about them wanting to be Justin Bieber?
Well, the whole thing is, Sam figured, oh, if I go... Because he always had his hair in a Bieber-esque style. So he looked like him anyway.
But,
right, and so I'm like, cool, it makes sense for Sam to do it.
Yeah.
But all the girls falling for him just made no sense.
Well, the thing is,
it was so transparently this tie-in thing between them and the movie, and that's what made it just so very creepy.
Oh, there's a movie?
Oh, yeah.
There's a movie coming out. And that's the thing. Yeah. They obviously made a deal, you know, to do this advertising tie-in thing. And that's why it just made the whole thing really creepy and disgusting.
It was so
because
false.
Because it wasn't just something that grew out of, you know, oh, let's do some cute little thing with, you know, do a Justin Bieber song. It's let's just, you know, get money from doing a tie-in thing with a movie. And it was just...
There was no story.
Yeah. And
it was soulless and nasty. It was, and
like the only good moment was when Lauren came up and said, "I feel creepy that I like him."
And that was
the thing is, you can't have it both ways. You can't do a wink and a nod and then, you know, take the money under the table.
I agree. I totally agree.
Just it was smarmy. It's just totally smarmy.
And then to take a great song from Rent and make it a total throwaway, no relevance to the story at all whatsoever song.
Yeah, that was awful.
There was no story. I mean, is this the one where they also had the carousel shirts?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that was beyond stupid, even as bad as her character is. It just... None of it made sense. None of it made sense.
Yeah.
None of it did. Please explain to me the number where they were jumping and bouncing around in lumberjack pajamas. Somebody explain that to me at all.
It's supposed to be a My Chemical Romance song. I don't understand the whole lumberjack theme that went with it.
I was just staring at it going, why?
I will tell you, though, there was a really, really wonderful production number. And I thought that it was really, really good. They did have it. Sadly, it was a commercial, and it was the Chevrolet commercial.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. That was funny.
Because I remember that from my childhood.
Now, that's really sad when a Chevy commercial has more invention than the whole show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the episode was a thumbs down.
At this point, and Lee is strictly a vehicle to sell stuff to people dumb enough to buy it on the internet.
It's been that way for a while now.
But it's gotten even worse now.
I have to say, the episodes last week weren't bad. This was a bad episode.
Cute. I liked
they were okay last week.
Last week was fine.
This week was all commercial.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. And I find that you either have a good story episode or you have this. There's like nothing in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like getting Sue to join Glee just so that she can like
be how is she the coach of Vocal Adrenaline? How's it
really
even
and
possible?
Not get fired? I'm sorry, but that's a conflict of interest.
She can't be at both schools. You can't do that.
No, you can't do that. I don't understand that. I didn't understand like her whole like trying to get into Glee so that she can manipulate them.
And that didn't work.
That didn't work. Like, she tried planting the seeds for the diva off, and that didn't work. What? And we got that
Oh, and then the field trip to the cancer ward. Oh my God. Yeah.
That was so bizarre. Like, how did that fit in at all?
It didn't.
It was just to tug your heartstrings. It was this manipulative... really grotesque moment. I remember I just stared at the screen and going, "You're kidding me! You're kidding me! You've really sunk this low
because it didn't fit.
That's the whole thing about this episode. Absolutely, nothing fits.
It was the obligatory "Let's show that Sue has a heart" scene.
Yeah, before we rip that out.
Before we show you that she's a total cold-hearted bitch.
All right. Uh-huh.
Five minutes later.
My last question I thought is, who is this show supposed to be geared towards? Because I don't see it geared toward teenagers, and I don't see it geared towards adults.
But it is geared toward teenagers.
But they're not doing it. What are they doing? I think they're gearing it toward tweens, toward your 8 to 12-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's possible.
Well, Ryan Murphy has said many times that, like, this is a very important show about how we're showing the empowerment of the misfit and how we're showing how music education is so important. And I'm like, what? By spewing out a bunch of trendy songs
that are auto-tuned.
Oh God, yes.
All right, let's move on. The next show up is V, and this week's episode was fantastic.
This is the Fit Hits the Shan episode.
Really?
I will say this.
It was a good episode for V.
It was better than a good episode for V. No, it was really
it.
Good. I really like the fact they killed people off. I was like, are you kidding me? People shot in the street, though. I have to say the husband was predictable.
The husband was predictable.
Totally predictable. As soon as he said to her, you know, we have so much time ahead of us, I said, you're dead.
Oh, yeah, you're dead by the end of the... Yeah. Yeah. And then Eli, I knew that he was going to bite it, but I was like, oh, please don't kill Eli. He's such a cool character.
I really liked it. And then Ryan was just upstairs. Like, they just killed off a lot of people all at once.
Oh, you don't know Ryan's dead. You didn't see a body.
I know. Somebody said that, too. But I'm like, he was literally one floor up. That whole thing just went down. I'm not writing
Ryan off.
You didn't
off
see
yet.
A body. I don't think Ryan's dead.
Yeah.
Also, who? What is that? The guy, the Irish guy?
Oh, Hobbs.
Hobbs, yep. Man, he has now lost his soul.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
I like that. And
but then we have Erica saying, that's it. We're taking the fight to them.
Yeah, that was a great speech. And the priest has now lost his collar. I was like, we can now do the romance. And the ex-husband's dead.
Like he's been defrocked by letter.
By a letter?
Did they do that?
Apparently.
Well, I just love that scene because it was so much like a give me your badge and your sidearm scene from a cop show.
That's
like,
true.
I must have your collar.
You have 1 week to vacate the premises, but you must turn over your collar now. And he's like, well, can I say goodbye to my parishioners? They are no longer your parishioners.
Seriously, they did that?
Yeah.
What I don't understand is, do they do that by letter? I mean, what, candygram? I mean, how do they do that?
I'm Jewish, so I don't know how the church works.
They had to drag you to Rome and have like a big, you know.
I don't think you. Well, I seriously doubt you have to actually go to Rome to get defrocked.
Well, like here was my question: like, why is Rome even caring about one parish priest in New York?
No. But they said they had a whole episode showing that the priests now, if they speak against the V's, they get punished. And he's been on the internet and on the news and all that stuff. There's been fights in his... So they had already given him a warning.
Yeah.
They told him, if you keep giving these kind of speeches, you will lose your collar. And he did it again.
In the real world, no, they don't do all that. In the real world, technically, all they can do is tell him, you're fired. They can't even unmake him a priest. Even if they get married. I mean, they're stuck with that forever. But I remember in the first season, they talked about how the church was thrilled to death that people were coming back into the church. Therefore, they would let the visitors do whatever they want.
Right. And they had an entire episode about the visitors saying, if any priest speaks against us, you have to punish them. And they agreed.
Yeah.
So,
but isn't that something more for an archbishop to do rather than the Pope?
What do you mean? Defrock him?
Defrocking somebody.
Yeah,
it's like sending a papal decree. I'm like, that's a bit extreme.
Well, the thing is he was in the... Like, everyone knew who he was. Because not even the V's knew who he was. Based
on but
what
you see,
doing.
Then if they're trying to make a scene out of it, why would they just do it in a letter? Why wouldn't they have like a big press conference or something?
I mean, you'd think.
Yeah. Well, whatever. He's defrocked. He no longer has a collar. He's no longer a priest. Therefore... They've opened that door for that romance they've been setting up for...
Since the first episode.
Yeah, and so I was like, finally, I don't feel like I'm watching The Thornbirds. It's okay now. I thought the story, I liked the... Oh my God, that kid. Can he die already?
Oh my God.
Oh God.
He is the dumbest thing on two legs.
Yeah.
You know what? I have to say, as dumb as he is not as dumb as the kid in the original V.
Well, didn't that kid get turned? Oh, the one that was a brown coat.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Brown shirt.
Brown shirt, please. I got enough of my mother.
Oh, sorry.
I got enough with my mother in that.
Sorry, sorry. I realized what I said. I apologize. Much apologizing. Anyway.
Wrong science fiction series.
Yes. But I thought the actual story. I'm very excited about what's coming up next. Like they really. Did a good job.
I haven't seen the preview for next week, but a friend of mine told me about it, and
the preview
it sounds
looks
amazing.
Good. Yeah, the preview looks good. I'm ready to see it now. So, thumbs up.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing we want to talk about is Modern Family. And this week's episode was...
The mom comes back the little girl's birthday party.
Right.
Which,
the clown! Oh, that was great! Sorry.
I just love that the mom was played by Shelley Long. I'm like, that's such a great casting choice.
Well, she's been on there before.
Has she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because her and Gloria don't get along, and
they
always are fighting.
Oh, yeah, right. But it was cool to see her.
She was great.
She was fun.
And then the old boyfriend was
Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon. I was like, Matt somebody.
Yeah.
That was fantastic because he looked all washed up and drug addict and And all he just looked awful.
It's like, I drive that limo out there. It's pretty sweet.
And the mom didn't say that she was married with three kids. That was so awesome.
And then she just told me that you were trying to figure out your life. Oh, did she now?
And then the mom was making out with him in the driveway. Oh. Ew. Ew. That was great. It's like every daughter was to see her ex-boyfriend making out with her mom.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and Gloria got wasted. She took some sort of pill.
Oh, she took like Xanax and then like chased it with like three glasses of wine or something.
No, tequila.
Oh, God, right.
Yeah, she was, woo, she was high. And it's just, all of that was really funny. And I liked Cam being the clown.
Yeah. Or trying to be a court jester to go with the princess theme.
And then he went off on the woman who was dressed as a princess.
Yeah.
And got her to break character.
Never break character!
That was awesome. So yeah, I liked it. It was good.
Yeah,
it was fun. Oh, and then the last big scene is when Gloria and the wife are fighting. And they're rolling on the ground, and the husband, what is his name? Not Jay, but
Phil.
Phil. Yeah. Phil was like, I got Gloria.
Yeah,
he is always trying to wrestle Gloria. It is hilarious and creepy slightly. It's a little bit creepy.
Little creepy.
Anyway, so...
But, you know, that's Phil. You just sort of go with it with Phil.
Yes. He follows his theme. Next up that we want to talk about is Justified. And second episode. And I realized in our conversation about the first episode, we actually didn't talk about Raylan hardly at all. Like, the entire conversation was about that little girl. Like, all the stuff that happened with her, which was fantastic. But now that this is the second episode, I figure we should talk about Raylan a little bit. Like, what's going on with his life and all that. What do you think?
Well, I liked the opening where he's going to work and Winona's in the elevator with him and they're talking because he's actually having an affair with his ex-wife.
Right.
And...
Well, it's not an affair because the husband knows about it.
No, he doesn't. No, he really doesn't.
No, yes, he does because he shows up at the hotel and he's like, I'm going to win her back.
Right, but he doesn't realize how... He knows that they are, but not completely. Because when they were coming out of the elevator, he's talking, he's schmoozing, he's being too friendly. And he goes, oh, and you smell good.
Yeah, because she smells like Raylan.
Yeah.
Which was, that was funny. Because I was like, that's, because she just kind of tilts her head like, eh?
I mean, is something you want to tell me?
Well, he doesn't know that she smells like Raylan. But he, because Raylan, she was like, I love it when I smell like you. Because they had that conversation in the elevator. And she's like, oh, I love it when I smell like you. And then they get off, and the current husband is like, oh, you smell good.
Which made me go, wow, I wonder how he does smell. And would they be bottling that and selling that in the stores?
Essence of Raylan.
That'd be a great product placement, let me tell you. You know, you find out it's actually Old Spice or something. You know, that would just be something else. But... That's the thing, is that everyone forgets that the idea of Justified is that he only pulls his gun when he's justified.
Right.
And in this episode, he was absolutely... And that they also showed how it affected him. That where Winona used to complain, he'd come home from work and he would be shut down and he wouldn't talk or anything.
Oh, right.
And
right.
Here, for the first time, he's actually told her why what was wrong, what his day... about. Just a little snippet. And she was willing to hear it without... not wanting to hear it.
Well, she had always wanted to hear it, but he never wanted to talk.
Well, but a lot of times wives say, I want to hear it, and then when they hear it and they realize how intense it is, they really don't want to hear it. She actually does, so there might be hope for her. Well, I'm hoping for Gary, too, because I'd love to see what Gary does to try to win her back, because I always thought he was a schmendel is the only word I can come up with. You know, I always wondered, how did you take her away
from Raylan?
Because my Lord knows you're not the one that I would be choosing.
Yeah, he's kind of smarmy, and he's just like, he's not that in. He's like the inverse of Raylan. He's boring. He's not particularly good looking, and I think all he has going for him is he's got a steady job. Like, that's about it.
He doesn't have a steady job, though. He's a real estate agent.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So he got in trouble. He did crime. He did, you know, he did all kinds of stuff. And he says, I can talk anybody into anything. And I'm thinking, I'm sorry, I don't care what kind of gift of gab you have. You, Raylan. Oh, please. Please. But I think that there's going to be some more issues of what's going on with Raylan with the family that's in that other town. Because right. now we're finding out all the history. You know, we always knew that he grew up in among a family of crooks, in a town of crooks. And somehow he was the only one that's
managed to get out of there. Right.
And become a marshal of all things. And how those relationships are kicking in. Yeah, I like how last week the other marshal said, I'd want to bring you because, you know, it's your people.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, I don't want to go in there by myself. Yeah, I got that.
Absolutely. So you're actually learning more and more about his history because of this town.
Oh, I like the fact that his father got kicked out of the house. That was hilarious. His father was on house arrest, and the wife kicks him out of the house because she's like, when I found out what he did to Raylan, I kicked him out of the house. It was great.
But
he's got an ankle bracelet. Yeah, he's got an ankle bracelet. The ankle bracelet's going off because he got kicked out of the house. And she's like, he like shows up. He's like, you can't make him sleep in a camper out in the yard. He has to be under house arrest in the house. It was fantastic. Like, that whole conversation was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then she comes out with a bat. And she's like, yeah, you can get back in the house. Move. So all that was pretty good. The case itself was okay. Like, I knew it was going to be a jailbreak. Like, you knew that. But they did a little too, like, I think when the pregnant woman figured out that they were going to kill her, that's about when you as the audience figure out. Because I was like, why is she trying to escape? It was like, oh, they're going to kill her. And she realized that, too, as she was talking to them about, she was like, oh, so after I have the baby, then we're going to do what? And they didn't have a really good answer for her. Like, they BS'd the answer.
Well, it was the Jess who BS'd it. That's also when his partner realized
that they were going
to
kill
her. And did not want to. And said, when were you going to tell me? Well, if I told you, you wouldn't do it.
Right.
So that's a wake-up call for everybody.
Yeah, because it was like she asked a question. I can't remember exactly what she asked him, but his answer seemed too pat. And she was like, oh, they're going to kill me.
And at that moment, I also realized who the father was.
Yeah, because they made you think the father was the crook. But at that point, when you realized they were going to kill, it was like, why would he kill his girlfriend if he's a crook? Oh, right. So that all came together. I thought that came together. And I like the fact that when they did the whole interrogation in front of the wife, like they got the prison guard, they got him there in front. He's like, oh, you can talk in front of my wife. He's like, are you sure? He's like, oh, it'll be fine. Yeah, we want to talk about this girl you got, this inmate you got pregnant and you're planning to kill her. And he was like, oh, maybe I should talk to her by myself.
And she's like, no, dog, tell me.
That was good.
I love the idea that she didn't go, oh, I don't believe it. It was like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, she just went off on him. That was great. All right, so...
But it'll be interesting to see what happens with the girl going back to...
Oh, yeah, that little girl?
Yeah, how... Because she's...
I think she's going to figure it out. I think she's going to figure out that they killed her father. She's smart. They established that in the first episode that she's really, really smart.
Yes.
And that idiot son kept the watch, which is obviously her father's watch.
Well, that's the friend of the son. The son is the other doofus.
Oh, right. But he's around
the house. But he keeps the watch. I mean, didn't we not learn this from Castle? Never keep the watch.
Never keep a souvenir.
Yeah.
It ties you to the murder. Anyway, so that's going to come back. The girl's going to see it, realize they killed her dad. And I don't know what she's going to do then, but it's going
to
be something.
And Boyd is still a part of this. Even though he's trying to go straight, Boyd cannot.
He's not
going to
go straight for very long.
No, all he's doing is enjoying that he can blow things up legally.
Yes. All right. Next up is Vampire Diaries. And I have to say, this is after a couple weeks of werewolf drought, as I call it, where the episodes were just kind of, they're all right.
Yeah.
It's just werewolves, and it was kind of fun. This is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
This episode, I was like, I finished the episode, and I texted... Actually,
Peter. Elena regained my respect with this episode.
Oh my goodness! I was like, you must watch Vampire Diaries right now. it was fantastic. It was they basically went back to what I call their roots from season one, where stuff happens, people die. It's awful. It's ugly. It's surprising. You're going, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
And all that happened.
I mean, they had the whole plan about trying to kill Elijah, but I was going into it thinking that it was going to blow up in their faces, and he was going to get away.
Right.
And that didn't happen.
Well, it did happen once.
Yeah, it did happen once, but then...
Was he the one that was sitting in the chair?
Yes.
Oh, okay, see, I saw that part.
So, the thing is this is the second or third time they've tried to kill Elijah, right? Mm-hmm. So, the first time they kill him, they stake him with a huge freaking log.
Yeah.
And he comes back.
Right.
And I'm yelling at them, chop off his head. Okay, so then the second time they kill him, and they use the dagger, and they throw him in the cage, I was like, chop off his head.
Chop off his head.
I'm yelling, chop off his head. And apparently they can't hear me through the television. So...
Their final solution is stab him and keep the knife in there.
Well, I mean, that's what the book tells you to do.
But I'm like, okay, do you have another one for Klaus?
Thank you! I was like, what the heck are you going to do for Klaus if you got to leave the freaking one dagger that can kill the original?
You know what you do? Chop off Elijah's head and take the dagger.
Thank you! Oh my god, that was... And I knew that Catherine was lying.
Oh, yeah.
Because during the whole scene that Catherine and Damon are having, I'm, like, listening to her talk, and he goes, oh, that's just what I wanted to know. I was like, dude, she's smarter than you.
Yeah.
I'm, like, yelling at the screen. I was like, Damon, she's smarter than you. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, Catherine would never show her hand like that.
Oh, no, no. Catherine's way too smart. And I was just shaking my head. I was like, have you learned nothing by all the times that she has outmaneuvered you?
Mm.
She has outmaneuvered Damon, like... Every single time that they have encountered each other, every time,
yeah.
she has been smarter, faster, everything.
And that's what I loved about Elena's scene at the end, because like she totally outsmarted Elijah.
Oh, right.
I'm going to pull a Catherine on you. I will make myself a vampire.
Yeah. And,
he's like, no, you wouldn't. And then she stabs herself, and he's like,
She totally called his bluff on him. No, he goes,
no,
I'm
calling your bluff. She's like, I ain't bluffing. Stab.
And then he was like, all right. And that was all good. And then she got him. I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't see it coming either. That was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. And so we got Elijah. Oh, and the only thing I called cheap on is, what is this, Alaric giving up the ring.
Yeah,
I call
yeah.
BS.
Yeah, so do
on
I.
On that, because if Alaric and whatever the mom, Jenna's, if the Uncle John or whatever actually broke them up by all his lies, the last thing you want to do is give him a ring of immortality.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't, just like, okay, fine, you broke me up with my girlfriend, I'll give you my ring. I was like,
you know what, guess what, you're not getting your ring, go die.
Thank you. I was like, he was like, oh, you're going to need it because Damon's coming to kill you. I'd be like, no, I'm keeping it Damon
is coming
to
kill
you.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. That was just insane. I was like, why would you give the ring?
I would have respected Alaric a lot more if he had said, you know what, I'm keeping the ring. Damon's going to get you.
Yeah, thank you. Or how about this? I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
You know, so
I don't
that
know.
That was BS.
Alaric
BS
never struck me as like gutsy enough to actually go after someone like John.
Well, he went after Elijah. I didn't see that coming either.
Well, he didn't really go after Elijah. He just sort of took the opportunity when it presented itself.
You're using his exact words. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this episode was, oh man, that was so good. And now I can't wait for Klaus.
Yeah.
But the preview for next week looks fantastic.
Oh,
it
I didn't see the
like,
preview for next week.
Oh, well, it basically, it, obviously, it's the whole, because Catherine ends up out at the
well,
end.
Well, yeah.
And it's based, they have them in a room. It's Catherine and
Elena.
And Elena, and they're all planning what to do with Klaus. And I was like, what? We're getting our heads together? What the heck?
Oh, God.
The
universe might just implode.
Exactly. Oh, and the warlock taking Bonnie's powers, that sucked.
That was intense.
That sucked, man. But, dude, that dude is awesome. As much as he's kind of not exactly evil, you're not quite sure where he stands.
Yeah.
He is freaking awesome. I was like, I like him a lot, even though I didn't want him to take Bonnie's power. But Bonnie's kind of out of control.
Yeah, she has been getting out of control a bit lately and not really, like, knowing what she wants to do.
Right. And, well, like, and she basically roofied the son in a really kind of disturbing way. Like, I wasn't on board with that.
Yeah, she roofied him and then mind-raped him.
Yes. And then, when he comes back later, he goes, what the heck happened to me? And she goes, oh, nothing. And totally lied to him. I was like...
I love you.
That was a little dark Willow for me.
That
was a little dark.
Yeah.
And so when he just was like, you know what? This is for your own good. And he just snatched her powers away. I was like, all right.
Mm-hmm. But I also liked how Elijah was basically like trying to tell everybody within earshot, you know, this town was actually founded by witches.
Oh, right, because he wants to find that funeral pyre.
Yeah.
Of the massacre for some reason. He wants witches' bones. I'm not sure why.
Who knows?
Some spell.
Well, now we'll never. Well, now we'll never know until somebody takes the dagger out of him.
Oh, that's true. That is true, because now you can take the dagger out and ask him a question and then stick the dagger. Except that none of them are strong enough.
Catherine might be.
She's only 500 years old.
She's got the best odds.
Yeah, but she's still only 500. He's like thousands of years old. I don't think so.
And she's
terrified of him, and he can freaking compel her.
That's true.
So, no. Yeah, that's a bad idea. All right. As you can tell from my animated voice, I was very excited about this week's Vampire Diaries. It was fantastic. And it was, I'd say, of the week, Vampire Diaries and maybe... Okay, Fringe and Spartacus were my shows that were really rocking it this week. I was very happy. Okay, next up, we want to talk about 30 Rock.
Well, we got more Jack and Liz this week, which is always good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I like that Liz is back to being the woman who is...
Awkward?
Awkward and not really into sex and unsure of herself and... I loved everything about that part.
And yeah, she used, like, except for the whole potato chip clip that she used on her hair,
but
which was bizarre.
I liked her whole thing with, like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to go into spinsterhood. I got myself a cat. I've named it Emily Dickinson.
I've got a book.
I'm reading Murder on the Orient Express.
He's like, you know there's a movie about that. And she
tosses it in the trash can.
Yeah. So she's only gone back so far.
Well, I like the fact that Donahue, too, has an emergency, and he's telling her about it, and he was like, after my emergency, we'll address this whole thing you've got going on here.
And I thought the whole thing with Jack negotiating with the nanny was
really
awesome.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Awesome.
And then using it.
And then using it with Cable Town. Just like,
Town's the orange.
Just got the orange. So what you gonna do?
Oh, man, the nanny was great because he tried to call. He's like, I've only known this baby like a couple of weeks. I'm not that attached.
And then he starts crying. Please, 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 please come back.
I'll put all your family through college. That was great.
What was the band Lutz and what's his name?
Whatever. I felt like... A flashback to Chuck and the Jeffster came to me.
Yeah,
when they were doing
only,
that. I was
only
like,
not
eh.
as good as Jeffster.
Except they were doing it all to get her into the nightclub. To get her into.
Well,
the
that's not
well,
why
that was
they
part
did
of it.
Oh, that was part of it.
Yeah,
if
I know.
You watch the flashbacks.
Well, yeah, it was part of it,
but they wanted to do the band before they had the plan to get her in there. So I was like, eh, I don't like the band idea. I've seen it badly executed elsewhere.
Frank and Lutz, I just really don't care
exactly.
Too much
for
their stuff.
That's the problem. Is that they, you really don't care about them.
Oh,
anymore.
I like the fact
unless
that...
they're with a lot of other people,
right?
But just alone. Ugh.
So basically, that guy was a Swiss prostitute. Is that what we're supposed to?
Yes,
take from that?
He was a Swiss prostitute.
and
I love like this the flashback where they're showing him like they're trying to educate him on Liz, and he's like, "Do I really have to do this?"
That's pretty bad. and I just because like as he's talking to her in the bar. Like, he knew way too much stuff.
Oh, it was so obvious. Come on.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, that's my favorite drink. I was like, no, it's not.
Well, I thought Liz's reaction to it was hilarious. She's like, oh, that's my favorite drink. I have it in a thermos next to my toilet. You misheard me.
That was fantastic. Yeah, all that. And then the fight was just so... I was like, what's going on? Like,
well,
all...
You see, this is why, like, the one, like, Russian foreign girl in the writer's room, I feel like she is so underused because when they give her something to do, she's hilarious.
Oh, that's right, because she had the fist fight and beat everybody up.
Yeah,
and because of her.
That's how Liz figured it out. But, no, she should have figured it out by all the other clues.
Well, she figured it out from everything, but that was, like, the most obvious clue.
Right. That was pretty good. Yeah, I thought thumbs up for this episode.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, next up is Archer.
Another great episode of Archer.
Yes, they're going to the bayou. And for some reason, it requires them to be dressed in leather. Which I was like, if I'm going to the swamp,
Oh, he was so doing Burt Reynolds in Deliverance.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Was that Raylan in Leather? Oh, I'm sorry. Mixing up shows. Sorry. You said Leather, Swamp, Rednecks. I went to a different place. Keep going. Sorry.
But, the timing, the comedic timing on this show is fantastic.
So great. H. John Benjamin and Aisha Tyler, when they are doing a scene together, it's so fantastic.
She's like, we're going to the middle of the swamp, we're going to be trapped here, and all you brought was beer? You didn't bring any water?
And he packs it in dry ice. Like, why?
And then she sticks her hand in and, like, freaking almost freezes her hand off. Oh, my goodness. They lost all their ammo, they get attacked by an alligator, and... Oh, they stole the boat. Because he's like, I've always wanted to do this.
Yeah. They stole the boat, which was being
reserved.
Being reserved. And then it turns out it's being reserved by the...
bad guy.
By the terrorist. And he's like, don't you know the honor of reservation? But my favorite line has to be when he's like redlining the airboat and he's like, this must be what it's like to have sex with me. And Lana goes, how can an airboat be selfish? Oh!
That was all. And then she's like asking him for his fears and he's like, he's scared of crocodiles and alligators and aneurysms.
Yeah.
And she's like,
they can strike at any time without warning.
Oh, and the best, my best line was at the very end where he's stuck on the pipeline without a boat. There's an alligator in the water. He has no ammo. And she's taken off without him. And he's like, how could this get any? And then the alligator starts creeping up out of the water. He goes, wait for your cue. And then he goes, worse.
End.
Like, that was a nice little wink at the audience and a little, it was great timing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Archer is just, if you're not watching Archer, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Third thumbs up in a row for Archer.
Yes. Next up is Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
This week's episode was apparently some bizarre 80s flashback music video that involved all the characters looking back at, well, Dean looking back into his past, and it was just, I didn't really like it, actually. I thought it was a step back in quality.
I thought it was, like, kind of, it was very mediocre.
Yeah, and during the flashback, they had two montages. They had the interview montage where Sam was interviewing people, and I literally fast-forwarded until I realized that he was actually talking to someone. And then there was the montage of, all my life with Lisa.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God.
The Lisa montage, I looked at it as a waste of 2 minutes.
It was.
It kind of was,
because
yeah.
And some of the scenes in there weren't even really scenes we'd ever seen. They were just filler. Serious filler.
It was this whole episode felt like a filler to me, because I felt that the last episode where he got the honest truth from Lisa and she was like, I'm done with you, there's never a chance with us.
Yeah.
That was the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't need this episode at all.
Well, actually, the last couple of episodes, I've felt that way. You know, the Arachnid episode that we had, the last one, was, I thought, even weaker than this one, because
that whole episode was just setting up Sam cracking the wall.
Right. So I actually thought that had value, because...
Yeah, but it didn't lead to anywhere, because it's like he cracked the wall, and then he got up and said, okay, I'm fine now.
And
it just didn't lead any place. And in the meantime, we had like a monster that looked like it belonged out of some, you know, classic Doctor Who episode.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, we've got Autons.
It was horrible. It just feels like we're kind of meandering around and going nowhere. So
We're doing a lot of standalones right now, and Supernatural has always been weak in the standalone department.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're kind of just reproving that.
Yeah.
But there would have been... There was a possibility also. I thought the same thing. Oh, how cute. This is going to be like a Doctor Who episode. This is going to be funny. This is going to be something. Someone's possessing it. Someone's doing something. And then at the end, how is it possible that her ghost came back after the bones were burned?
Because she had a kidney.
She had a possessed kidney.
She had a possessed kidney. That was the whole point.
So even though the bones were burned?
Because you have to burn the whole body.
Yeah, you have to and burn so, like, and, everything
and,
from
and,
them.
And since her sister got a kidney transplant, her kidney was in the sister. So the kidney, because we've seen before where they've had locks of hair be possessed. They've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not that unusual. It's just their entire discussion was, well, what are we going to do? Rip her kidney out? I was like, oh my God.
I'm like,
well,
if it was Robo Sammy, would have gone, yes.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean,
give,
you know,
it's like, give me the sedative in the knife.
Like
I'll
a,
do
a
it.
Black humor about it. That was amusing. Yeah. But beyond that, it just felt like a waste of time.
What was the point of her dying?
But I see, maybe that just went too fast, but what was the point then of the sister dying?
Because she
when
had
she
to
said,
kill the kidney.
They had to kill the kidney.
So they killed the kidney?
Well,
no,
they, that just, was an accident.
It was a happy accident.
Yeah.
Because the sister goes, I'm sorry.
Right, because
well,
the
dead sister.
Because
the
car...
sister was trying to kill them, and she killed her sister accidentally.
Right. It was an accident. So she crashed the car into the window, and then the shrapnel from the window killed her sister.
Which was really the only amusing moment in this whole episode.
Was the car going?
Was them pulling a Christine with the Metallica.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I throw this out as a question. I'm watching it. I understand that one of the co-workers, he had a doll as a sex doll. Okay, fine. I don't see how the doll in the medical room was considered a sex doll.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
But his comment was when about the car was that it she's only supposed to possess sex dolls.
Well, actually, no.
It was just
a flippant comment on
right.
his
part.
Oh,
anything, any plastic mannequin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, but. Okay, then that killed what I thought was in a funny joke about the car and how much he loved it. Okay.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
no,
there is that.
They
but...
were going for that, too.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, it was any kind of plastic mannequin, which is I actually thought of the Doctor Who episode, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, are we doing that? But no, apparently we weren't. I was
no.
like, yeah, whatever. All right, so
yeah.
I actually give this episode a thumbs down, and I saw the preview, and I heard you guys said you thought you liked the preview. I think it's going to be
the
most awful episode ever. Ever.
You have to see, first off, the full preview, which
yeah.
is about a minute long.
You saw the 30-second snippet preview,
well,
which was very meh.
I understand
but...
what it's about. Just knowing what it's about is the worst fanfic I've ever read, and I avoid the fanfic. Like, it's like the bottom of the barrel fanfic.
But you see,
I'm
going to
hold off
I would agree
judgment
they...
on it until I actually see it. But, you know, I mean, it is exactly that. It's a fanfic concept, and it's been done to death. And I would say it could go either way. It could be hilariously
yeah.
funny, or it could be a complete train wreck.
Well,
it could go either way.
Yeah, I would agree. But they've done this kind of meta fanfic
mm-hmm.
concept in the past, and it's been hilariously tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt with this.
Oh, I am too. Until I see it, I'm not going to say, oh, it's going to be terrible, it's going to be terrible. It could go either way.
I am predicting
terrible.
Some of the moments that they showed in the extended version were really funny.
Yeah. Like, my favorite line is Dean going, they put makeup on us. Those bastards! See, I got a smirk out of Olivia from
that.
No,
it's going to suck.
Did you turn Polish?
All right.
Yes. What are you Polish now?
All right. So moving on. Next, we're going to talk about a good episode, which was Fringe this week.
This was a really good episode.
Yeah, this week's episode.
Yeah, awesome.
Everything. It feels like the entire story is just like coming together in
yeah.
such a way that it's just unbelievably fantastic. I cannot believe. I really feel like this season of Fringe was literally like written out. Like they said, okay, what is going to happen for every episode this season?
Yeah.
Okay, this is it. And they totally, like, everything feels really planned out. And
well,
really
yeah,
well
this,
done.
This whole episode
really cohesive.
Yeah, this whole episode was just like, this is what it's all leading towards.
Right.
And it was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the culmination, but it really feels like we're right on everything is going by the numbers, and it's surprising and it's entertaining. And you see the stakes.
Yeah.
The stakes are really freaking high. You
yeah.
know?
And just like the last scene with Walter and what's her name? I can never remember her name.
Astrid?
Nina.
Thank
oh,
you.
Nina.
Where basically, like, she basically says to him, maybe it's time for you to get your brain working again.
Does she say that?
Pretty much. Like, he's... He says something about, like,
I can't figure it out.
And she
maybe
says,
you should learn.
Maybe you should learn, which was basically her saying, let's put your brain back together.
Oh. I didn't take it to mean that.
That's what I took it to mean.
Huh. I like that interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I was not sure how I felt about the whole Peter and Olivia thing, but
it sort of came out of left field.
Like, you mean them getting back together, or
yeah,
sort of first time together?
Yeah, back first time. Like
it's not really. They've been dealing with it every episode.
Yeah, but it sort of felt like Olivia did a bit of a 180 with this.
Well, I think
it felt organic to me.
Yeah, because he gave a very good argument.
He did, but I don't know. I sort of felt like Olivia turned around too quickly.
Well,
after having spent so many episodes being like so. Feeling so violated by
this is the first time they've actually kind of sat and talked about their relationship.
Okay, that's true.
As opposed to, I feel that the other Olivia has butted in on, like, usually she's always like, well, the other Olivia did this and you like her and blah blah blah. They actually this time talked about themselves.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. what they both wanted. And I like that she was afraid and then she wasn't. But I have to say, for a relationship that I didn't think I was going to like if you had asked me about a year ago if I thought Olivia and Peter were going to work, I'd have said no. But I'm kind of on board. But you can see the train wreck coming, though, because you know the other one's pregnant, and you're just like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like this, it's doomed. But,
it's doomed, but that's what makes it interesting, though, too.
I think if it weren't doomed, it would be less interesting.
That's true. You're waiting for that other shoe to fall.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't, it's like, we know it, but they don't. So it's like, oh, let them be happy for an episode or two.
Because it's all going to burn horribly.
Well, you know, I mean, if everything worked out well, there'd be no story and nobody would watch it.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I like the whole ghost thing that Walter was like, I don't believe in ghosts. And Peter was like,
that's where you draw the line?
That was pretty good. And I liked how they made us think. I didn't really think that guy was a ghost, mainly because Olivia could see him, Peter couldn't. So exactly.
As they started talking about it, I knew that had to be a rift from the other side.
Well, I mean, the fact that, like, in the teaser, they brought up that how Olivia could see people glitter from the other side. I was like, okay, well, this is obviously going to be about something coming from the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I figured this was about, you know, that this was, you know, shifting going on, and that's why people were, like, you know, falling, because... you know, things were coming and going and, you know, that's what was happening. But I loved how they resolved it. It's like there was nothing that anyone could say to this woman that would sway her from believing that this man was her husband
until he
finally said, like, one four-word sentence.
Yeah.
Which was great. Was, you know, the girls miss you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was it.
And that was perfect.
I also find it very disturbing that they were considering using the Amber. Because the Amber, to me, feels like the evil universe, you know? That they trap people at Amber.
But you see, that's what I liked about it, because, like, you really saw the struggle of them, like,
right.
this is absolute last resort, and now we're here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's
yeah, in fact, Walter brought up, and I thought that was interesting, was that he said, you know, I've always thought of Walternet as being evil, and this was... what made him so evil was using this, and now this is what we're considering doing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so interesting, was that he was now considering doing this, and maybe he was seeing Walternet in another light.
Right.
But
so I thought this is so complex, and this is more complexity than we usually get in other shows.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the whole last scene with, like, maybe we should put your brain back together, because maybe you can succeed where Walternet failed and come up with a viable alternative to the Amber.
Except that Walter, as his full self, is kind of evil. We've seen him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary. I'm not sure if I like that idea.
Well, that's the thing. I think it would be really interesting, because, you know, we've thought of Walternet all this time as being, like, the show's ultimate evil. It would be really interesting if they went the other way and showed, you know, our sweet, gentle little Walter as being the ultimate evil in the show, you know. If he
Oh, that's true.
Him. Yeah,
that's
yeah, true. Exactly.
All right. Next week looks good, I think. Did you see the preview?
I didn't see the preview.
Oh, I actually don't remember it. But I'm sure it's going to be good, because so far they haven't had a really bad episode of Friends yet.
No, that's true.
So I'm excited. All right. Next up is Spartacus. And this was the fifth episode. We only have one more left. And talk about everything just kind of coming together and about to blow up in everybody's face. I have to say that I think a couple weeks ago I was talking about how Lucretia in the prequel was totally different, and she's all naive and she
so sweet, gentle.
And I was like, oh, and the death of Gaia like really changed her, and this is, and wow, was I wrong? But it was fantastic. Like, that reveal was so good. That was the best. That was
amazing. It was that, like, really, and oh my God, Lucy Lawless is fantastic.
I just
love the way she pulled that out. It's like, you know, tell me you're not as bad as I thought you were. I'm not. I'm worse.
That was great. And then she tells him, like, everything that she's... Though I have to say she fell into the evil mastermind pitfall in that she told him her whole plan.
That's true. She monologued.
Yeah, she monologued her entire evil plan, and he wasn't quite dead. So I was
not dead yet. Though he wasn't in any position to really do anything about it by then.
That's true, but I was like, man, he could, like, write a message in blood or whatever, you know? It got all messy, and he started spitting blood everywhere. I was like, ew! But, man, like, when she revealed, like, all the stuff that she had done to him over the years, I was like, oh, my God. Great. She is basically, I mean, I have to say that first scene, you know, after she finds out that he's basically told Badiatis that he has to divorce her, she was like, she was all upset, mad at Badiatis. And then the next morning she comes up, she's all cheerful and serving him wine. I was like, that wine is poisoned. Like, I knew it. I knew that wine was poisoned, like, because she was too cheerful. I was like, she's done something. I was like, did she poison him?
Well, because, you know, she was at that point, she seemed to be, like, trying to plot with her husband.
Right.
And so I wasn't sure if she was doing that or she was trying to encourage Badiatis to do something instead. And then, you know, but by the time she was actually serving him wine after the doctor had left,
yeah,
at that point I knew absolutely she was doing it.
Well, because he was already poisoned at that point. So
he was getting sick, but I figured, you know, she was just finishing him off at that point.
Oh, and she was.
But I didn't realize she'd been doing it, like, all this time, and I thought that was beautiful. That was brilliant. That was wonderful.
Oh yeah,
I love that.
She just, oh man.
I can't wait for next week. That's going to be delicious.
Well, the fact that she basically killed Badiatis' father without him knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, and she's going to be blaming it on Tullius.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
the even more brilliant part.
Oh, yeah, because he already hates that guy. So it's kind of like, oh, and Amenaeus is now, I bet you, I put money on Amenaeus or Gannicus being the knife that is used to kill Tullius.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because either one of them would totally kill that guy to get back in.
Because not only did Titus die because of the poison, but, you know, Amenaeus's wife died because of it, too. And they don't know, you know, exactly how that occurred.
Yes, they do. Well, they know that she drank the wine.
They don't know where she drank it.
Right, because that would be bad if people found out. But I like the look on Lucretia's face when she saw that her favorite slave was dead and it was her fault. Mm-hmm. Like, she actually did look a little guilty. She was like, I totally didn't mean to kill her. So she did look guilty about that. And that lets you know Lucretia's just a little bit human. A little bit.
Well, at this stage in her development, she wasn't so evil that she was cruel to her slaves.
Right.
That came later.
Right.
And it was interesting, actually, to see how the relationship started between her and Crixus, because it was strictly a utilitarian one at this point.
That's true, because he looked uncomfortable and she looked disgusted.
Oh, completely. You know, it was strictly for her to conceive a child.
Right.
You know, it was just practicality. She really didn't want to have anything to do with him. It wasn't because she lusted after a slave or anything like that. She was just trying to conceive a kid.
Well, the only other thing is, I personally, out of that stock, I would have picked someone who looked a little bit like, more like my husband. Because Crixus doesn't look like him at all. Like you have
this is true. But remember, they're going with the idea of the Roman mentality, which was very superstitious, and the idea that she heard that, you know, Gauls were extremely
fertile
and, you know, had lots of kids, and that, you know, her chance of being able to conceive with him would be very high based on that.
And ironically true. It took a little while, but it totally still happened. But that was crazy. That was so much stuff happened in this episode that I was just really, I can't wait for next week. And it's like, that's the last one until the second season.
I know.
Which means we have to wait until next year, because they don't even start filming season two for like another month or two. So
yeah,
it's gonna be a while. Yeah, it's gonna be a little depressing because this show's. Oh, and next season I'm gonna have Bodyatis. That's gonna be sad.
I know. Lucretia and Bodyatis are going to be gone.
No, Lucretia's gonna be back for season two.
Is she?
The network requested that she not be dead.
How is that? She somehow survives that?
They said she, as they cut away, she's still twitching. So,
oh my god.
So the network said that they want Lucy Lawless back. And so now the writers have to figure out a way to have her back.
Wow, she's hard to kill.
Well, and it's like, it's just a flesh wound, except that...
I'm not dead yet.
Because, well, Bodyatis is...
I think I'll go for a walk.
Bodyatis is definitely dead. There's no way you can get around that, because you see his eyes glaze over, he's dead.
Yeah, but, well, they slit his throat. It's really kind of hard. She, however, she got a knife to the stomach, so the kid is dead. But technically, she could survive.
And that's pretty much what they're going for. And I was like, all right. Because apparently, when your network calls and says, you need to make her undead, they're like, all right. So, yay. Any other comments? I think that's it.
Yeah, other than I'm really looking forward to next week because those previews looked awesome.
Oh, I didn't get any previews. I'm watching it on Netflix. I don't get
previews. Oh, the previews looked amazing. They've apparently finished the arena, so.
Oh, right.
Looks good.
Oh, yeah, in the flashback where it showed Amaneus killing Gannicus, I was like, oh, that's surprising. I always figured he'd die in the arena. And then, and then of course, it was a dream.
The arena's done, so.
So I'm sure he will die in the arena. Though I actually had a weird thought that I was like, if he gets sold to Titus, then maybe he's actually a slave of Titus, and then we get to see him in season two.
Tullius. Titus is dead.
Actually. Right, Titus is dead. Yes, Tullius. Yes. So then that
all
occurred
those
to me.
T names.
All right, next up is Being Human, and it premiered on BBC America, and it's the real Being Human, the UK version.
Except no substitute.
Yes, exactly. And the last time we saw these guys,
Annie,
thank you. I was like blank. I was like the ghost. Annie was trapped in purgatory, and they were trying to figure out a way to get her out. And she's like talking on the television, and everyone's freaking out. And this week's episode, Mitchell
finds a way.
He goes on a mission, and it was creepy, man. I have to say, they made Purgatory kind of creepy.
Oh, very creepy.
I really liked the episode. I mean, it was primarily focused on Mitchell because hardly anybody else was in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was really just Mitchell in Purgatory and like sort of having to deal with the guilt of his massacre that happened at the end of last season.
Right. And all of that kind of came together and because the girl that's being his guide was kind of like, oh, you don't remember me. You remember this other guy you killed. You remember this other guy you killed.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is getting suspicious.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, she was a victim.
Right. And all of that was all pretty good when he figures it out and it all comes together and I was like, oh, all right.
And then we get the prophecy of there's a wolf-shaped bullet with your name on it.
Right. And of course he lives with two werewolves, so that's a little problematic. If I hear
just a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, I hear a werewolf's going to kill me. Living with two werewolves might not be a good idea.
But yet he seems not suspicious of George or Nina at all.
Well, I mean, neither one of them at the moment have a motive to kill him.
Well, that's true.
Well, they don't have a motive, no, but you never know with this show the weird things that can happen. You
that's
know,
very true.
That's the thing, you know, fate has this weird way of twisting, and I think that's what's so interesting with this show is the kind of weird twists that it can take. But I loved where this episode went, you know, the dark places that it took Mitchell, you know, down memory lane, as it were, and the places he was willing to go in order to bring Annie back.
Right.
Because, you know, he was willing to sacrifice himself, you know, and stay there in purgatory. And in order to, you know, to take her place, in order to let her come back to their world, because he loved her just that much.
And I like where they're going with that, too. I never really saw a real romance with Annie, because, one, she's a ghost.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they really are pushing the Annie Mitchell.
They were pushing it, yeah. And I don't really have a problem with
it. Yeah, I'm buying it.
No.
Yeah.
No, and you know, the thing is also, too, at the end of last season, you know, they pushed Mitchell so far into a dark place that they really made me kind of not really like him anymore. And this year, they're kind of bringing him back again so that I'm willing to kind of forgive him, which is saying a lot. I mean, considering what he did.
Yeah, and especially in the first episode.
That's the thing. The fact that he was willing to take responsibility for what he did and make that kind of sacrifice of saying, okay, yeah, I will stay here. I will take her place. I will do whatever you want me to do, you know, because, yeah, I did all these terrible things. And I was willing to say, okay, I'm willing to start down the road of forgiving him now.
Because, I have a feeling this season is going to be very strong about, like, Mitchell's redemption.
Right. Mm-hmm. And just a side thought, for some reason, they moved to Wales. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was just it was just random.
Well, everything's got to move to Wales when it's on the BBC at this point.
That's true. But, I mean, I think before they were pretending they were in London, and
now
they're just like, we're in Wales.
Yeah.
All right.
It's easier when everybody's like, wait a minute, that's not London, that's Wales.
Though I do like their new house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think it's hilariously kitsch. I love that whole wallpaper, that hideous thing with palm trees.
The whole tiki bar they've got there.
Oh, God. It's just wonderfully ugly. It's just great.
It's perfect for them.
Yeah.
It is.
So, all right, thumbs up for the series. If you're not watching the UK version, why not?
If you're only watching the US version, stop.
Yes.
Oh, please, stop doing that to yourself.
Watch the UK version. Much better show.
Yes.
All right. That is all that we're going to talk about this week. If you guys have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @TVCampfire. We're on Facebook. And visit tvcampfire.com. Talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.